Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsession
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hello and welcome to the Dork Forest, you guys. It's me, Jackie Cation. Let's do the numbers, which is from Marketplace. Let's do the numbers. JackieCation.com, DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com. You can go to Bandcamp, get premium episodes if you love a premium episode, TDF.Bandcamp.com. And those are live episodes, and I think they all cost about $2 each. And then I have a storytelling album over there as well. Let's do the credits. Patrick Brady is going to fix this audio. And Vilmos fixes the website, JackieCation.com. And Mike Rickberg composed and sang that song you heard, sings with his wife, Sarah Cohen. And Mike's going to sing his words to the Mexican Hat Dance at the end of the program. You can support the show with the donation button on JackieCation.com or DorkForest.com. You can send me some money if you got some and you like the show. I appreciate that a great deal. You can order stuff on JackieCation.com. All of my CDs are there and my DVD if you like a hard copy. You can also order from Amazon or iTunes or just listen to them on Spotify or Pandora. You can get a digital download of my DVD at ComedyFilmNerds.com. You can get T-shirts. You can get a Ranger of the Dork Forest T-shirt or the Dork Forest T-shirt in green or the Spooky Reading Girl T-shirt, which is a stand-up T-shirt that I sell. They're all union-made. And they're all, they run a little big, but they're real good quality, and they're made by adults, real good quality. There's Wisconsin coming through. And you can use the Amazon banner to support the show if you want. If you order from Amazon, and almost everybody does, you just use the banner on JackieCation.com. It's white, and it just takes you back to Amazon, and you order like normal, and it doesn't cost you extra, but the Dork Forest gets a little bit of a kickback. Anyway, good times. If you want to come see my stand-up comedy, do it this week. This should drop. This should be available May 17th, 2016. And I will be opening for Maria Bamford in Nashville and Charlotte. Those are both cities. And you might live near two of them. So go to Jackie Cation and check out the whole schedule if you want to see if I'm coming to your town sometime soon. Anyway, let's get into the show and dork out. Thanks. Hi, it's Jackie Cation. Welcome to my living room, the Dork Forest, with Moon Zappa. Hello and welcome.
Hello.
Here we are, three years later.
Finally.
I know, I had your little sister on, and she was talking knitting. My favorite thing about that episode was when I said, so when you drop a stitch, which is what I guess it's called, do you undo and then redo? And she was like, no, that mistake meant to be there. Mm. And then she laughed and laughed, and she was like, I'm also unwilling to undo it and redo it. I was like, own it. Own it, sister. Do whatever you need to do. And so what about you? What do you love?
Well, I'm so worried that I don't qualify for dorkdom because I
you aren't alone.
I love something and then I move on. I have a lot of things that I love. Like I'll go through a phase of, say, bedding or, say, flatware. And I'll be in search of the perfect.
But those are both home kind of
yes, I love home related items.
You love fiddle and diddle around the house?
I love nesting.
I don't think we've ever had Todd Glass was going to come on and talk to me about his love of flatware, but he never did because he likes a dinner party. Do you ever do you have nice bedding?
I do have nice bedding.
What makes nice bedding?
The pattern.
Oh, you like the color and pattern of it?
Well, I'm really in a phase, it's like a coral phase.
Is that pink-ish?
It's
peach?
It's in the red family, the reddish, orangish, pinkish family.
Okay.
But it's a very specific vibratory rate. I go for the wattage of the color situation.
Oh, fair enough. Do you like bright or do you like a low wattage or a high wattage?
I'm going to go with a matte coral in this case.
I love that.
But here's the thing. I can't sleep in, say, the color red, but I could sleep in the bedding that is in the red family. It doesn't make sense. I know.
Like this wall behind me. Mm-hmm. You don't want any part of it while you're trying to sleep?
I might have trouble sleeping in this room.
Okay. But well, we don't sleep in this room, so luckily. And then 10 years ago, we bought these curtains. Have we cleaned them? No.
Mm-hmm.
Very sad.
Mm-hmm.
So I've wiped down the windows.
I like a nice coral gray yellow combination, but it's a certain kind of like a marigold.
A marigold gold?
Yeah.
Okay.
That color combination is working with a gray, with a grounding gray base.
And do you do is there anyone left who's still not doing a fitted sheet? You're doing a fitted sheet,
right? I don't do the top sheet.
Oh, you've never done a top sheet?
I am
just a sheet?
Not a fan of the top
blanket.
Sheet. Duvet.
Oh, duvet?
Duvet.
Interesting.
A weighted duvet, a heavy. I like a lot of layers of weight.
That is nesting. That is serious. You're underneath something heavy.
Yes.
It's almost like someone's lying on top of you going, no, this is great. We're cuddling. And you're cuddling with your bedding.
That is exactly right. You know the story about the when baby monkeys, they did a study to ruin monkeys' lives. They took the monkeys away from their parents and then
that is heartbreaking.
And they gave them the option of a wire monkey with food or a terry cloth monkey with no food. And invariably, all the baby monkeys wanted the terry cloth monkey.
Right.
They would rather starve to death
than hang out with a wire monkey.
They would rather have something that felt like cuddling more than anything else.
That might be the saddest story I've ever fucking heard in my life. But I love it. I love it that now I know. And let's never do it again. Let's call that a definitive study. And now let's leave the monkeys alone. Anyone?
The point is seeking comfort.
Yes.
That is a passion.
My sister-in-law, my sister's partner, wife lady, is a... Darla has now gotten into the heavy duvet because she loves a pile of sitting on top of her while she's sleeping. Mm-hmm. She's being held down to sleep. Is that what's happening?
Yeah. Remember there was that woman, there was a, what is her name? Temple Graydon. Is that her name?
Okay. Temple Graydon.
She's got some form of autism, and she invented this machine that allows cows to be able to be removed from areas without traumatizing them.
Oh, wow.
Because she's got a kind of sensitivity that's like, hey, that doesn't sound like that would be relaxing.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But one of the things that she built was this sort of machine that hugs you. It's like it presses you.
Oh, right.
It contains you.
Oh, because it feels good.
Yes.
It does feel good. I will give them that.
I'm a fan of containment.
Right. The womb and crawling back into it. Here's my thing about the duvet cover.
Mm-hmm.
You got to stuff whatever's inside the duvet. It's like a quilt or a down
feathers,
comforter,
yep.
Something. And then you got to button it
mm-hmm.
or zip it
mm-hmm.
and it gets lumpy. You got to make sure it's even, right?
Well, a lot of the better quality
duvet
covers have a little like a ribbons in the,
uh-huh.
and you tie the corners and secure those corners. And then the other corners
are loose.
They fill in the bottom corners so that there's always,
it's
expansion.
Always,
it's always,
oh.
It can't bundle. It can't lump.
That's important to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want a lumpy. I see. Cause I like nice sheets.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a child, we never had a top sheet, but so you know, did you have a top sheet when you were a kid?
Probably.
When you were being raised, sort of, by Frank Zappa, shall we tell people?
Frank Zappa, the household was a top sheet household.
It was a top sheet.
But when
you heard it here first.
But but when late in the later composing years, when he was working with orchestras, and I prayed that Sting would walk into the house and.
So you could look at him?
I could be with a man who played the stand-up bass. I met a German man, and he taught me the beauty and wonder of no top sheet.
What is the beauty and wonder of no top sheet?
Well, I like weight, and I like containment, but I don't like to feel trapped. So it's I don't want my feet snuggled in there. That's a terrible sensation.
Okay, so you like it open.
Yeah.
You want it open. So you don't even tuck in the blankets, because it's just a
duvet. No.
Okay, so it's a sheet... Because you're not an animal, and then a heavy duvet over it, and then you snuggle.
Yes.
All right.
Exactly.
I.
And then the thing you would wash would be the duvet cover.
So you got to take the damn thing off.
At some point. But I also love many layers of other blankets in between.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, I got a nice JCPenney quilt I got from my sister-in-law, married to my brother Phil.
Mm-hmm.
She gave me a real nice cotton quilt that she got from the JCPenney.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually, it's good for summer because it's not too heavy.
Right. So in that case, I would leave the duvet at the end of the bed. Fold it up and over.
Up and over.
Yeah, and it's just a glamorous way of having the bed be made, too. Just a big, poofy.
Right. And if it's flat, it's fine. I don't know why. My stepmother was very much in favor of making the bed each day.
That's the same.
Same?
Kitchen has to be clean, sink has to be clean, and bed has to be made.
Yeah, yeah. Were you raised by the Austrian army as well?
Well, actually, there was a military element in my family. There were military people on my mom's side of the family. So
who would show up sometimes and go, "Where's it? Give me a quarter."
They didn't show up, but it was definitely in the DNA strand for sure. And I got that. And I also love efficiency too. I'm a big fan of efficient thinking, efficient doing.
Mm-hmm.
So
an example:
loading the dishwasher. Don't help me load the dishwasher if you can't load it the way I like it. Pretend you're visiting, say, India, and the rule is you don't show the bottoms of your feet. Learn the customs of my country if you want to be helpful to me.
You know, you might enjoy what Nancy Kashian, my stepmother, would say to us sometimes, which was, don't help unless you're asked, and when you're asked, do it right. That was a little slogan she had.
I like it. She and I would get along.
She would very much so. Wash, wipe, and put away. Live to eat another day. That was another one for us. She had a couple of them. Those are the only two I remember, sadly. Uh-huh. But, yeah.
Because what happens is how you do one thing is how you do everything. So, for example, dating life has been ruinous because if a guy can't load the dishwasher the way I like it,
right,
that means he is not washing his balls correctly.
Oh, interesting.
And he's not telling me the whole truth. And. It goes...
It's a domino effect.
It can
start with something as small as the dishwasher.
That reveals his trustworthiness. And it also tells me, at a certain point, I will probably need to take antibiotics. So that helps me not at all.
Right. You don't want any part of that guy.
No.
Because that guy's going to give you a yeast infection,
and yet,
sadly,
the ones that can load the dishwasher... A little too much girl. So I'm not clear on the balance.
This is a terrible barometer or litmus test.
Exactly.
How do you want the dishwasher loaded?
It's, first of all, you'd have to see the dishwasher, but it's a visual thing. To me, it's obvious. Like, I look at the dishwasher and it's clearly demarcated what goes where in what order. But other people it's a free for all. And that is terrible to me.
Well, I like to put all of the plates in the longer ones where plates would go, right?
Mm-hmm.
The bowls in the shorter ones, half whatever.
Correct.
Do you support flatware tines up or tines down?
It depends on how narrow the
boxes are.
Yeah. Because sometimes sometimes you have to flip the tiny teaspoons over because they fall through.
Oh, right.
For example,
because the handles will fall through if the part's on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's big enough to have that, mm-hmm, then the water can get in there and fix it.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not big enough, I like tines up just to make sure the damn thing's
clean. For
sure,
tines up. I'm a tines up person.
Or tines down if it's big enough. There you go.
Interesting.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting. And top row, right? That's glasses,
mm-hmm,
and bowls.
Yeah,
if there are enough bowls,
exactly,
or whatever. And the bigger items have to go on that bottom thing because there's more room, right?
Correct.
Okay. All right.
In the same way that you would not do a darker nail polish on your hands and then a lighter on your toes. It's just common sense.
No, you go darker on your toes, right?
Exactly. Thank
Why
you.
Why do I know that instinctively? I don't wear any sort of nail polish. It might be DNA. I like to get a buff when I go.
Me too.
Yeah. I prefer, because the thing is I'm going to break them anyway.
You're talking about your fingernails.
My fingernails are going to... Yeah, I will sometimes get a bright, like a fire engine red.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me feel girly. Makes me feel, brings it up a notch.
Ballerina slipper pink does that for me.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes, if I have red toes, I feel... I already feel like I emasculate most humans, whether they are male or female. I
right?
just dismantle them
Oof.
By my presence. And so I don't need any more of that energy. I need softer colors.
Oh, softer colors to sort of soften everything around
mm-hmm,
you?
Mm-hmm.
I always feel like it almost brings me up to sort of a 40s brassy dame kind of thing if I do a bright red. Mm. It makes me feel like, well, you aren't an 11-year-old boy. You are actually a woman. And so that I've never actually thought it through, but that is, I think, what I'm thinking. Uh-huh. So, interesting.
The light pink makes me feel like I could pass in Orange County.
In gentler society?
Or in conservative
land. In conservative land?
I don't always have to seem like an artist. I don't have to be your token bohemian.
Right. You aren't tatted up.
I am not tatted up.
Do you have any tats?
No, but I do have a nose ring.
Oh, you got the nose ring.
That's new.
Did you just get that?
Yes.
I love that commitment.
And the thing is I'm powering through a staph infection, and I'm asking myself, why am I fighting for it, is really what I'm asking myself. Why do I feel I have to keep this thing?
The nose?
That I've taken on.
Because you could get rid of it, clear up your infection, and do it again.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do see what you're saying.
So welcome to How I Think. And
right? You're like, no, this is, we're going to heal around this. I just got, because I'm going through my middle-aged lady time. Uh-huh. Nobody wants to talk about it, but I'm writing material on it anyway. So I'm going through that. Mm-hmm. And I also have...
You're talking about menopause?
Peri, I think.
Okay. Say me no pause. Me keep going.
You keep going?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Problem, me
find solution. Mine starting to smell like baby powder, and a grandma, me find some way to not do that.
Me, Grumpy Magoo, went to a series of hippie professionals, and Andy was like, is there a way you could go to a Western doctor? I would love a Western doctor to give you something. And I said, look, I have these things that look like they came from Monsanto. Does that make you feel better? And she's like, he said, yeah, it does, as a matter of fact.
When you say a Western doctor, I just picture like John Wayne, like an actual, like a somebody from a Western.
Yeah.
and they're giving you
big
some
hat.
Yeah, but what's that, the Nopales, those cactuses, which are good for you.
Are they?
Yeah, for your kidneys, apparently.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I have an acupuncturist. A 55-year-old grumpy Chinese lady, I recommend. If you're going to go with a stereotype, that's the one to go with because she's rocking it. I have a chiropractor, middle-aged Jewish guy. Not fulfilling anything there. Anyway, and a physical therapist, youngish lesbian. Is that something? Anyway, but the physical therapist helped me the most with sort of my physical, like my gynecologist told me she didn't know what was going to happen, which I thought was gutsy stuff and very admirable.
Meaning that everybody's journey is different.
Yeah.
And it's a big surprise.
She said everyone's a snowflake. And I was like, well, that's hilarious. I'd like to be a cog in a machine, please. And you to have a wrench.
Yeah, I know. This is where we all have to make our own way in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, it turns out guys can have boners well into their hundreds, but no.
Which isn't gross at all.
Right, because that should, and definitely guys, all guys want to. No. Even my dad, who is an aging horn dog, is like, no, I'm tired now. I don't want to. He's 79. He's like, I don't need to have a lot of, it's good. I can make an occasional dick joke and that'll be fine for me. So I go to this nutritionist. And it's a Los Angeles nutritionist. So she's a scientist and a doctor, but she's also a Los Angeles nutritionist. So in the course of her talking to me, she said, I'm not psychic, but I am intuitive. Hmm. Well, no one asked, but thank you for. And then she was talking about the wrapping up the fertility business. And she goes, you know, the weird thing about wrapping up your fertility is that you start flashing back to when you were first becoming a woman and your expectations of what that would be. And now that you're 50 and you're like, well, what didn't I do? And so you start some people start beating themselves up, she said. Mm-hmm. And she intuitively thought that I was beating myself up. I was like, good guess. Always a good guess that I'm probably beating myself up. Mm-hmm. And I realized that the woman I wanted to be when I was 12, Iman.
Oh, interesting.
It's never worked out, it turns out. This was never meant to be Iman.
Did you stay on track with that, or did you, like, abandon the dream, though?
I never And I never even wanted it. I mean, I was just, I would look at him on and go, oh, one day I'll probably be a supermodel and learn how to roller skate backwards and do all the things that girls do. Until then, I'm going to skateboard and go play video games.
Interesting.
And, but I never did. And so there's part of me that's like, as I wrap up my little fertility dance, I'm like, oh, well, I guess I'll never be a mom. Well, you never really wanted to be a mom.
That is true.
Christy Brinkley was not meant to be. You were not going to ever be Christy Brinkley. It was going to be fun.
Dreams are harder to bury than people. I agree with you.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Wow.
You have to do a different thing with them.
What are you going to do? What do you think?
With the death of a dream, I think you have to make a new dream.
Right. Just build something out of it.
Like right now, my other passion besides nesting is self-love. And one of the ways I'm giving that to myself is by... giving myself permission to never fulfill my destiny and
oh, there you go.
And not live up to my last name, because that gives me the freedom.
Amen. That is awesome.
Maybe pursue something.
Right, because then you can
napping
just live.
Is good enough.
Yeah, yeah. You know what Maria Bamford likes to say?
What?
20%.
Oh,
don't
my God.
Forget to give 20%.
That makes me laugh so hard. It's so funny. She sometimes says, or five.
Right, or five.
It really
right.
doesn't make a difference.
She changed her phone number and her email address recently. And so everybody's like, hey, did Maria change? And I was like, and I said, hey, Maria, somebody's trying to get a hold of you. Like 19 people. And finally, Maria, she just said, feel free to drop the ball on this, Jackie. I was like, all right. She's like, don't even worry about it. They'll find me. Yeah. They'll figure it out if it was meant to be. And she's not even saying it in any kind of happy way. Mm-hmm. She's literally, if it is meant to be, they will contact my manager.
100% agree. That was the other thing I realized recently, too, is I have not created a space to receive in any way, shape, or form. I don't have a website or a thing or an agent or a thing. I've literally dropped off the map.
Which is awesome. I mean, though people can go to @MoonZappa on Twitter.
They could.
They could if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And you may or may not respond.
And here's the thing. Resourcefulness is hot. So if you can figure out a way to find me, amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, suck it.
That really does sum it up. That's what Malcolm X said. That's what he always said. That's what he lived. Him and Henny Youngman. It was both of their mantras. And but I love the idea that you're like, well, I don't have to live up to the last name and I don't have to fulfill my destiny.
No.
Because you know what? If it's your destiny, turns out it will find you.
That is correct.
So maybe your destiny is to nap.
It might be.
Oh my God, I love a nap.
Oh, me too.
Talk about some nesting.
Oh, yeah.
I will kick back 3 p.m. I usually, that's my fall over time. And then I wake up around 6, and then I start my evening. And then I like to be wrapped up around 11:30, 12.
Totally. And the truth of the matter is, I mean, it's fun to wake up in the middle of the night. It feels cosmopolitan, European-ish.
So, right, 5 a.m.?
Yeah, or even 3.
3?
3 to 5. Just
what are people doing?
Get some reading done. It's when it's quiet.
Right. That is a good quiet time. Yeah. Do you do a lot of reading? Let's talk about...
Oh, I love reading.
You do some reading?
Oh, I love me some reading. Yes.
Fiction, nonfiction, literature, crap?
Right now I'm reading an amazing book on trauma. I can't remember the author's name.
For or against?
Trauma? Oh, yeah. Against.
Oh, good.
Yeah, yeah. No, this is...
I thought it was another monkey thing. No, I'm not. I'm kidding.
No, he's... there's something, I think it's called Inescapable Shock. Just, it's giving me understanding of the chronic long-term horror of my entire existence. And so when I'm like, gosh, I'm really suffering from some writer's block, I can be like, nope, that's just trauma. It's taking the language part of my brain offline.
Yeah.
And,
oh my God.
And so I feel a little empathy for myself. I can go,
good.
Oh, yeah, you know what? Maybe today we just get one bill paid and we send our child off to school and then we rest.
And then we rest.
And we reset and we start again.
Start again. The thing is, like there's so much, all of life is trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And so
some people I don't think feel
have
trauma.
It?
No.
Donald Trump.
I don't think he has it.
You mean, I don't think he has any empathy.
He's a perpetrator. He's not a...
Oh, is he?
No, I'm just saying, like, he's... Yeah. I don't think he has empathy. But some people, the stop at nothing people, I don't know that they that's probably not a useful Darwinian thing to carry along. I mean, I like to think that you could have it all and do it with empathy.
Yeah.
I think it looks like the Canadian president has that. Sort
yeah, he seems like a pretty good egg,
yeah.
Doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't understand why we aren't role modeling everything after that guy. I'm baffled as to why you don't go, shouldn't we just follow the guy who seems to be doing right? Everyone's smiling around what he's doing. Why wouldn't he do that?
Did you see that thing where he could do a push-up on his hands? He could do like a hand push-up like while he's standing on his head or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Crazy Bill.
Yeah,
But there's a certain amount of like the legacy part of it where yeah. you're the second generation or the third generation. My sister's boss is a guy named John Taft,
mm-hmm.
and his grandfather was William Taft.
Mm-hmm.
William Taft? Whatever. Yeah. President. Mm-hmm. President Taft. Mm-hmm. Supreme Court Justice Taft.
Mm-hmm.
And John Taft, and I've told this story before on the pod, but it's that one of the things that Darla really liked about him was that he told this story one time. He said, you know, he's the head of RBC Dane Rauscher, which is the Royal Bank of Canada. It's their financial department. He said, how do you think a guy like me became the head of the fourth largest banking institution in the country when my degree from Yale is for Italian journalism? And then he said, did I ever tell you that my grandfather was the president of the United States? And Darla was like, that's a guy who knows that he was born on third base, you know,
mm-hmm.
and he knows that he has to give back. And he's a good guy. And Darla's also like, he's also a Republican and I will never vote for him. But because he genuinely believes in some trickle-down stuff that doesn't make sense. But he's a huge philanthropist and a socially very liberal. But they just have some different – whatever.
I'm going through something that's like a cousin of that idea, which is I just had lunch with Pamela DeBar, who wrote a book called I'm With a Band. And she's – famous for being a groupie among
oh, okay.
many other things. And she's an author and she teaches writing courses. So we sat down for lunch and she goes, don't worry, I didn't sleep with your father. And I was like, phew, now we can have a civilized conversation. And then she said,
right, 'cause I suppose you're just eating lunch going, why are we here? Are you going to huge reveal?
Well, here's the thing. I've had many huge reveals lately. And so let me start by saying, growing up with my father, I saw this guy who was, to me, a total dork. He was shy. He mm-hmm. didn't think he was attractive. He was a workaholic. He couldn't have serious conversations or embarrassing conversations without deflecting with humor. He couldn't cook. He didn't remember to cook for anybody else. And when he would cook, it would be like jab a hot dog with a fork and cook it over a gas burner.
And then hand it to you with the fork?
He'd only eat it for himself. And then he'd make a can of chili, Hormel chili for one. Like he was just, so I felt
wow.
sorry for this man. And
yeah,
so
yeah.
that's who I projected went out into the world for 9 months out of the year when he was touring. I did not know that he pretended he didn't have a family. And even though other people are like, oh, that's what rock stars do. I was like, not mine. My dad
right.
went to Congress to like fight for
yeah.
the music biz. And
yeah.
my father was going to be part of Czechoslovakia's new regime.
Was he?
And my point was, he died too early. He was
okay.
he was running for president when he passed. But,
oh, okay.
So having lunch with and my parents stayed married the whole time, which is a romantic story if you think about it. And then
sure.
I'm having lunch with Pamela and she says, I was propositioned three times by him. I said no all three times. I'm like, that's a great story because I feel like no one said no to my dad.
Right.
And,
someone should have.
And then she said that my mother and my father took her to lunch and my mother was trying to find a replacement for herself in a threesome. Situation. I guess there was because my dad had moved a groupie into the basement, an Australian groupie, and
oh.
they were having a party downstairs. And sometimes it all come up for
it's
the
like working
meal.
In a restaurant, someone to cover your shift.
Exactly.
Your mom needed someone.
And so now I'm thinking. And so she passed. She said no. And her escape clause was unless I get Gail first, and that just blew the deal. They were not having any of that because Gail wasn't. You know, she was again trying to find a replacement. Moore isn't going
right,
to help.
Right. Right. Fourth.
So then I'm hearing for the first time that my mother, to save a marriage, was like, la, 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 with a titty and a bush. And I'm just like, wait, what? So do you know what I'm saying? My point is,
That is traumatic.
It is traumatic. I'm not even sure what my point is, other than to find out new things about your family.
New reveals. You know that I actually have I have a recorded but non-released episode of The Dork Forest that I did with my dad. right when I got out, when he got out of the hospital about a year and a half ago. Mm. And I was like, I need to do this. His dorkdom is sales. Let's sit down. Let's talk about sales. So when I'm doing the Dork Forest, whatever your dorkdom is, I want to know more about it. And this is a safe space and I'm trying to be supportive. So my dad is talking to me about sales. And as we're going, I realize, oh, everything is a sale. Everything. Every woman, every interaction, every ice cream cone, every fucking thing is a sale. So he's telling me about my stepmother, hitting on my stepmother and how they met and how the pitch went and how the sale went. And, you know, she was sitting with his cousin Humpar, because these are Armenians, old-timey Armenians with old-timey Armenian names. And so she's sitting with Humpar, and my dad moves in on her, and he starts telling me the date. And I said, Dad, I don't actually approve of this. I don't like the math on that, Dad, because you were still with Mom. And he goes, well, it's not my fault. That's the math. And I was like, no, it's entirely your fault, weirdo. You were the man. You were the a grown adult in this situation. Mm-hmm. It's like, I just got so mad in the middle of this thing. I've never aired it. And then in the next, he goes, well, you should have seen me in the 60s with Yvonne. And I was like, no, who the fuck is Yvonne? Stop talking.
Well, what's been so amazing about these kinds of stories that have been told to me recently is that I have always, I do remember my mother being very sad at times and knowing that it was, like in my mind, he cheated on her like maybe 3 to 6 times. And I can understand that she had a horrible temper. She was not very nurturing, but, I would have stood by her because it's just not polite to go off and leave someone at home with the children and
go away
in that way. And, but what's been so fascinating is my whole thing with my mom was always like, let's just live in our car. Who cares? Let's say goodbye. Like they raised a feminist and I didn't understand what I was actually railing against. It's like finding out that Woody Allen is your dad or something, or somebody who's like known for their, or somebody that's known for their art and then has a horrifying
side
that you would never suspect. Yeah. And would never be in alignment with, you know what I mean?
Right.
I saw an interview with him recently. Like one of my dorky obsessions is just my own family. and I saw an interview with my father talking about his love of explosives. Now he like went to go burn his high school down. I was like, that is a terrible person.
Right. Right.
What?
Right. You are not the hero of that story, Dad. Please stop telling that story.
And you're telling it with zero remorse. It's weird.
It is weird.
Don't brag about that.
Right. And the fact is that the reveals are still coming. Like
exactly.
People are still coming out of the woodwork to tell you weird shit that happened.
Exactly. And I'm like, I thought that part of the therapy was done.
Right.
How far from it. So.
Right. I don't know. I've always thought that multiple, like threesomes and stuff, mm-hmm. always a terrible idea. Just too many people. There's always someone who's left out and there's some crying.
It's only going to work if everyone is like Iman. If it's three Imans. And even then, I feel like even best case scenario, one of the Imans is going to be sad.
One's going to be sad. The other way I can really, I've been in two threesomes. Nobody needed to know that. that's what podcasts are for. Anyway, but, the only reason that they were of any use or enjoyment or entertainment ever was because I was so wasted that it so didn't matter. Like I was like, no, you guys go for it. I'm going to be over here. Maybe I might, you guys don't mind if I nudely go look for more booze. And then of course, and then we all pass out and our lives are continued. But I mean, the whole thing is that's so weird. Like what I know about my family is, cause it is fascinating. Mm-hmm. Like, cause it's where you came from and you're like, you're supposed to love these people and you do, but you're also like, you can see the flaws and you're, it's gotta be an analogy for how you can work with the rest of flawed humanity.
That's right.
Cause you're like, if you could figure out a way to love your dad, mm-hmm. then you could figure out a way to love George W. Bush.
Exactly.
Or Karl Rove or whatever,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So you can reconcile the Van Halen split and be like, well, okay, they had to do what they had to do.
I never knew about the Van Halen split. What was the Van Halen split?
Well,
they had to break up.
Yeah.
But
then Sammy stepped in, and then
right.
and then
he couldn't drive 55 is all I vaguely remember.
And then David Lee Roth is back. I'm not sure where it is now. At that point, when they got divorced, I was too sad to even check back in.
Big fan of the band Van Halen.
I was at the time.
Fair
yes.
enough.
Yes.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. It's a were they Hot for Teacher or was that somebody
yes.
else?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's I get them, and this is not going to be a popular statement, but I get them mixed up with Twisted Sister.
Wow.
Yeah, that's never.
Wow.
Nobody wanted to hear that. I think they wanted me to hear more about my sexual exploits than the fact that I got Twisted Sister and Van Halen mixed up. I don't know anything about music. I did go see, your dad wrote an opera,
mm-hmm.
the Central Scrutinizer.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw
Joe's Garage.
That's it. Joe's mm-hmm. I saw a production of that over in Silver Lake or mm-hmm. whatever mm-hmm. in Hipsterville.
Mm-hmm.
And because Andy Ashcraft, my husband, huge fan of your father.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
A matter of fact, when Diva was on the show, I was like, I didn't know that you were, I don't know. I knew that there was Moon and Dweezil. She was like, yeah, no one knows I exist. I feel great about it. Everyone go back and listen to that episode and you can hear the resignation in her voice as she too works through whatever the hell is going on in life.
Mm-hmm.
So. What, so you're reading Inescapable Shock. Who wrote it?
Well, the book isn't called Inescapable Shock.
Oh, it isn't?
The book is called The Body Keeps the Score. And,
but
one of the topics is this idea of inescapable shock, where you can't, get out of a circumstance and you're enduring it for a long time. Kind of like, remember when, that guy was fucking his daughter in a basement in, I think it was in Austria, and then he was also having children with his own child, and then they never saw daylight. He was basically raising these like
mole people?
Yes. Like albino foie gras
fuck toys, I guess. Toys.
Yeah,
huh.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Hashtag family.
Yes. Hashtag family.
The film Room kind of touched on that, which was such a great, weird, horrifying story, and so well done. And then telling the after part of, like, how do you get back into society post that kind of trauma? And in those cases, the trauma has ended. But when inescapable shock, it's like it doesn't end. And so how do you deal with the chronic?
Right.
Shock. I was just listening to this NPR story on the drive over here, and they were talking about the poster "Keep Calm and Carry On" and how it was something Winston Churchill rejected. He was not a fan of this because at the time that they were trying to have people build resiliency, he was like, "Resiliency does not come from being passive and just being like, okay, just
keep going.
You have to keep doing, keep investing in your country, and keep working and keep."
Right, it's action.
It's action.
Works.
It's not.
It's faith without works is dead. It turns
it's
out
it's not the lotus position.
No,
it's not. It's endless.
Is it downward dog?
It is. It could be an active downward dog if you're really pressing into your fingertips and pressing the heels back.
that's a yoga joke, you guys. Come on, get in there. Yeah. So it's. Do you like those kind of those depressing movies that show? I mean, because sometimes they do have people live. Like, people have lived through so much horror.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes I hear those stories and I'm like, oh, well, it wasn't that bad, was it? When I think of my own childhood or whatever. But.
Well, I don't seek them out, but I think a good resiliency story is uplifting.
Yeah.
Somebody attempting
rising
something.
Above.
Yeah. Something. A movie that I didn't love was. I can't remember the name of it now. Idris Elba was in it. It's the war movie. Beautifully shot.
Oh, the African
yes.
little boys?
That was depressing as hell.
Yes.
And now I guess the idea of that is it's supposed to prompt outrage. But the outrage with no outlet is not
and
helpful.
And almost nothing I can do about it.
That's what I'm saying. It's
yeah.
Give me something to where to put this afterwards.
Right. I'm going to go grab a book real quick. Talk amongst yourselves.
All right.
Okay.
She actually has left the station. She ran off with enthusiasm. I think she's a genuinely happy person. Oh, she's back.
love, you know, sometimes people don't say anything when I step up to get more coffee or the phone rings or something. What I like is when there's a little message in the middle that I miss because I'm not going to listen to it. I figure we're in this together. It was probably very supportive. And but I went and I got this book because instead of watching that movie, I had just read this book. And when I got the screener for that movie, I was like, well, screw that. I'm already mad. And this book was, talk about uplifting. It's called A Long Way Gone, Memoirs of a Boy Soldier by a guy named Ishmael Bea. And this is one of the greatest, my nephew gave me, it was assigned to him in junior high. So he's 15, he's 16 or 17 now, but he was assigned to him when he was 14 or 15. And he was like, Aunt Jackie, you should read this. It's a crazy story about this kid who's 12 who... He leaves his village with a couple of his buddies. He's got his Walkman. It's the 90s. He's got his Walkman with his LL Cool J, cassettes. And him and his buddies are going to a hip hop contest that they are going to enter. They have to walk 3 days to get to this big city in Africa. I think it's in Somalia, but, Sierra Leone. He's in Sierra Leone. So he, on the way there, his village is attacked by the rebels and burned to the ground. So they get separated and they're 12. So they're boy soldiers. You know, when people see them, they don't see little kids who are on their way to go to the hip hop. They think, oh, these are boy soldiers. So no town will take them in and then they get captured by the government's troops and made into boy soldiers for the Sierra Leone government. So it's not even the rebels doing it. They're like, a month and a half where he's just eating like unripe oranges and walking along this street, or these jungles and stuff. And in one of them, they take away his shoes and his feet are blistered because it's so hot. And he said, you know, then I remember I was walking down this pathway with these guys. And this is before he's been, indoctrinated into the army. And he goes, it was then I started to get a little depressed. And you're like, then that's when it happened. That's when you got a little depressed. And then he joins the army and they give him a gun and they make him watch Rambo 1 and Rambo 2 over and over and over again. And they give him cocaine and pot all mixed up together and Skittles and fucking Starbursts. And it's just sugar and coke and a knife and a gun and nightmare movies. And then he goes out and he kills people. And he's 13, 14 years old. And then this story, it's an amazing story that there's no bitterness. There's no sadness in it. It's all incredibly matter of fact. And then, because when he was 16 or 17, the UN came in and they were going through the ranks and they're like, everybody under 18, we're going to try to turn you back into people. And he said he was standing next to one of his compadres, and the guy was 18. And he's like, that guy didn't get picked. So he had been in the army as long as I had when he was 14 or 15. And that guy's still a soldier. That guy's still an animal, you know? And so that was one of the saddest parts of this thing. But I don't want to watch Idris Elba. I don't want to watch the fictionalization of something that this guy telling his own story.
Yeah. I mean, it is very, very similar. To this.
Yeah. One of the things that it was based on or something.
I would think so. It's very disturbing. But yeah, I think at the end of the day, understanding these aspects of ourselves and helping each other. I don't know. I just feel like I wish that you could take brain scans of everybody. And ones that don't have empathy, they go in a pen. They go in a pen because they can look like humans. They can look like us. Like with animals, at least you're like, oh, those are zebras. Those are elephants, those are
lions,
porcupines,
tigers,
whatever. Yeah. But we can pass as people and we can't see that we have these.
Can they tell by brain scans if you don't have empathy?
Yeah, they're missing some frontal lobe.
Well, I know that the social skills are pretty shitty.
But they also become generals and politicians and bankers and
managers of Kinko's. Holy shit, those bastards. And
parents sometimes, too.
Oh, they breed. Of course they do.
But anyway, the point being is I think we just have to make our little corners the best corners they can be. I believe in the goodness of good people. That's about all I got.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there are a lot of good people and sometimes we're encouraged to believe that there aren't.
That's
and
right.
And that I think is where the real damage can happen. Mm-hmm. Is that if I'm supposed to believe that everyone around me is my enemy, I'm going to make those people. Stranger's just a friend I haven't met yet, Boone. I don't know if you know that.
Well, and the scary thing about beliefs is that people can, that really is true. They can have powerful beliefs that are simply untrue, but they believe them. And so then they act based on those beliefs.
Which can be terrifying.
Right. And it might be something like confidence. And they could think that they deserve, I don't know what, and then justify their hideous behavior based on the, I'm a special chosen one,
right.
For example.
Right. Whenever anyone feels like that God has told them to do something, whether it's...
How about when they just tell themselves that they're supposed to do something?
Right. Oh, like not even coming from, it's not coming from an outside source?
I guess I'm talking about family again.
Okay.
To just not pay attention to how your actions affect another person. That's what I'm saying. And then they can justify the behavior based on why they make an assumption about you, or they just make a decision about themselves and they carry on in the world and just help themselves, for example.
Yeah.
Say you're dating someone who's a yoga instructor. And he gives adjustments that have the bad touch, for example.
Mm-hmm,
But he doesn't necessarily sleep with them all the time. So,
so is it.
And he loves you. He comes home to you. So
right. Well, you know,
what's the problem?
My father had an affair for 9 years. And you know what my dad had to say about it?
Hmm.
Not 9 years in a row. Out loud, he said
right,
that.
Exactly.
At dinner.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. So it's exactly that. And it's you know, there's so many...
I wish karma was real, and I wish that there was heaven and hell. I wish there was something to be like, yeah, that's a bad choice, and we all know it's a bad choice.
We all know it's a bad choice, and there will be some repercussions.
And this whole The Secret thing and all the stuff where people are just like, no, I'm just, if I want it, it's mine to have. That whole thing is just...
Right, that is a sense of entitlement that is insane.
Where everyone's in a bubble just bumping into each other's magic wand bubbles. I'm not interested in that. That is not how we...
That is a lot. It's... That exists in a way that you're like, yes, you should believe in yourself. And yes, you should work towards whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
But you do have to be aware.
Those people think I'm a negative person and a grumpy person. Do you know what I mean? And they're like, oh, you're not going to have success because you're thinking negative thoughts. I'm like, no.
No, about you. That's the only negative thought is that you're a dick.
Yeah.
That's my negative thought.
I'm asking you to just give me some respect, some basic respect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't always have to go first and get all the cake.
What
you could share.
What did I see the other day? It was that if you come from a place of privilege, you see equality as oppression. Somebody wrote that.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Sick.
Out of their damn minds. You're just like, and I was telling somebody some story about I was driving over here by my house and I was at the stoplight and my window was down and a drunk guy, a homeless guy, drunk, came up to my window and asked me for a dollar. And soaking wet drunk, by the way, sweaty, reeking of booze. I've been that man. And so he stumbles up and he's like, do you have a dollar? And I said, I do not have a dollar. And he stumbles back to the curb. And now we're both awkwardly sitting at a stoplight. And so he comes back up and he's like, you're pretty. You want to go out? And I was like, neither of us have a dollar. What the fuck? And I was like, the sense of entitlement of this soaking wet, drunk white man was amazing.
My ability to attract narcissists is so strong that I am convinced that if I was homeless, I would still be like, I would find the homeless narcissist who'd be like, you know what? You should really clean yourself up and maybe you should push the cart.
You push the cart. And why is your hair a mess?
Exactly.
Like they would criticize you.
Exactly.
Aww,
yeah, exactly.
Fuckers.
You gotta work it at the bottom and go all the way back up the top.
That's it.
Can't
do it.
But that could be one of your book titles. I used to be that man.
I used to be that man. Hashtag I used to be that man.
Is that how you said it, or did you say it slightly differently? I think you said a better version.
I used to be that guy.
No, I'm not sure.
I think it's whatever. I could go back in time. Turns out it's recorded.
Yeah.
But Yeah, it's crazy.
That relatability thing is I think, a good point of view for you.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, well, I mean, I spend a good portion of my time trying to make sure that I am aware of my surroundings, because I will be that person in a bubble. Mm-hmm. I was raised to be arrogant and an imposter and to believe that I could do anything. And if I can't do it, I can fake it until I either figure out how to do it or they let me go. That's fine. I don't know that that's fine, but it isn't. It's not always productive. It's not how the person I want to be, you know?
What would be the person you want to be besides Iman? Like, what are the qualities?
Well, I want to be someone who always listens, but I don't want to listen. What do you want to be? Since I've spent the last 42 minutes, I would say probably 20 of the last 42 minutes talking, and I've had you on the show, why don't I zip it, for example? What kind of person do you want to be? Like, not from outside. Like, sometimes I think that's what I want people to see.
Yeah.
But from the inside, the things that I want to be real.
Well, what I did just recently realize is that I have been... because I was raised with privilege, and we weren't the wealthiest, but we did all right. So I rejected money. I was like, I want to be of the people, for the people, by the people. And so I was the first person to, you know, read your screenplay and get involved in projects and take no money and just do it for the experience and the thing and the thing. Because deep down, I thought that if I was a good person and I helped people, that my career would happen and my support would just happen as result of just being a good person.
Right.
And that only works if you've got savings.
Right.
When you don't have savings, that is a horrible way to take care of yourself. That is not useful.
No.
It doesn't help anybody.
You still need money coming in unless you have some sort of crazy ass trust fund that's just going to pop in at some
Which
point.
I do not. Exactly.
Right.
So to be learning at age 48 that I need to figure out a sustainable income to take care of my
future idea.
Take care of my daughter and not have not get into it like a double suicide, because I'm trying to understand why we should carry on when in many countries they just treat women like they are dog meat. How can you raise a daughter in this world and get excited about this planet? It's hard. I'm just saying it's hard.
Right. And you have to have some sort of future plan for how you can be sustained and then how to pass on something decent to your daughter.
Yeah. And it just never was on my radar I just really thought that's what an artist's life is. You just do it for the love of the art, for because you're a person like any other person.
Right. The money thing is one of the craziest things
it
in
is.
The world.
It is crazy.
You know, there's six kids in my family. My dad would make some money, and he sometimes had a lot of money. Sometimes he didn't have any money, because my father is the opinion that you make money, you spend money, you go out and find more money. And you spend most of your time thinking about money. And so when I decided to do stand-up, I was like, well, I'm not going to be about the money. It was a lot like that, right? I'm going to be about – and – but I also had this thing where you got to make money. And then, but I never saved any money. Mm-hmm. I made it and I spent it and I made it and I spent it, forgetting that my dad is a giant gambler. He has a gambling problem. And my brother Russ once told me that my brother Russ has a great deal of money. And he said, here's how I made my money. Dad would come to me with, he was like, you know, it's a great idea. And then he would tell me how to make a bunch of money. And I would say, oh, well, I'm going to do that. And he said, well, you could. And then dad would say, well, you could do that, or you could do these three other things and you could make five times that amount of money. And Russ would go, yeah, but I'm just going to make that one kind of money and I'm just going to have that. And my dad's like, well, if you want to just make money. And Russ's like, yeah, I just want to, I'm just going to, I have two kids. I'm going to just make the money. And because my dad wants to make a three bank shot with the pool cue behind his back. And Russ is like, I'm just going to knock the ball in. Is that okay? And then I'm going to take 10% of that and put it in my savings account. Is that something? And so Russ has a great deal of money and my father has no money. Mm-hmm. And I did a show in Malibu the other night and all the comics who opened were just talking at these people and saying, you guys are so rich, man. You guys are so rich. And by the time I got up, I was like, it's funny that they think you guys are super rich. I'm not saying that you're not doing fine and you're better than 97% of the people on the planet, but we all know that the truly rich don't go to C-Cup. We are brought to them on the backs of elephants. And there's no reason. I mean, these are the top 3%. They're not the top 1%.
It's hilarious.
Yes, they're rich. They're fine. But it's a different level of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I would fear that for my kids, quite mm-hmm. honestly, to raise them in that privilege. You give them, I think, a sense of confidence that the money's always going to be there, which I think is good to have. But it can also create a sense of not thinking about where it's coming from.
Yeah, and not to define yourself by it. And I think that, I don't know. I think it's a really fascinating topic. And I just wonder if there is another economic model. And at the same time,
I wonder,
because I don't know what the magic earning power is. I feel like when I have made money has always been a fluke. I made something, and of the five things I made, that somebody liked one of them,
or two of them.
Exactly. Yeah. And that there is no,
and you can't call it.
No, you can't call it. And so that,
especially with art,
you can't call it. And so I have, just to even be like, oh wait, I'm choosing to be this artist that's in this panic state because
right.
I can't be in fluorescent lighting. That is, I cannot do it. I'm not built for that.
I think fluorescent lighting might actually suck the soul.
It does.
Out of people. It isn't cool.
It shuts my immune system down.
You need your immune system.
You do.
You're going to need it.
If you want to stick around, you're going to need it. Which is, again, it's confusing. Cause then you're like,
right, because do I? Do I really? I know. It was. I remember when I turned 40, I was thinking, you know, I don't want to kill myself, but I'm willing to die. Is that something? And
my sister once asked Beverly D'Angelo, when Diva was really tiny, she said, out of nowhere, we were driving along. We were just finished singing along to In Excess, Devil Inside or something. And then Beverly's driving. I'm in the passenger seat and Diva's in the back. And she goes, what's the slowest way to kill yourself? And Beverly goes, living. And I was looking at these two people like, why that question? And wow, that answer.
No shit. Oh, congratulations to everybody involved in that conversation. Holy criminy, that is amazing.
I'm just here to repeat it.
Exactly. I can't even remember who Beverly D'Angelo is.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She was in the European Vacation, the Vacation movies.
Oh, okay. Chevy Chase. The wife? Yep. Mm-hmm.
Hair.
Oh, wait a minute. Was she married to the tall black guy? Or they were together and then... In the film?
I don't remember.
Or wait. I think she was the hippie girl.
Yeah, the blonde.
With Treat.
Yes.
Yeah, there we go.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. That's how I like to describe people. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm in the part of show business that doesn't know anybody who anybody is.
I'm in that same, clearly, that same. We would not win the money on the show with the thing and the hit the buzzer and the.
No.
No,
I wouldn't.
We'd have to call in for the favor or the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I was at a party last night where the music was so loud. I was like, are they trying to get me to fuck off? Because clearly, aggressively, they'd like me to leave. And they have succeeded. Congratulations. It is 10:30. I'm like, I'm not staying. And plus, it was old, weird Marvin Gaye that was too loud. I was like, I love Marvin Gaye.
Mm-hmm.
But Marvin Gaye can be played.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in bars, they're like, if the music is super loud, then... people have to buy drinks because they can't talk, so they drink their drinks faster. That's the psychology behind
Ew.
It. Right. And a friend of mine who used to be a stripper, mm-hmm. she has all these things. She's like, here's a good thing to do. Always when you're a stripper, tell them that you dropped out of nursing school because it makes them tip you better.
Oh.
Yeah. And I was like, wow, weird. Hmm. And she's like, yeah, it makes them think, oh, she's smart, but she's doing this weird thing. I should probably give her more money.
Hmm.
And she's like, men are easy. And I was like, wow, that's a horrible attitude.
Wow. And yet, should we make the t-shirt and just wear the t-shirt? Because I'm I don't think I can pull up the stripping part to make the profit, but maybe the t-shirt just on regular folk.
And the men are easy, or?
I just dropped out of nursing school.
Oh, I just dropped out of nursing school. Maybe guys will just hand you ones?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, mm-hmm. Interesting. I just
big
dropped
Gelson's.
Out of Gelson's.
Let me pay for that stuff that's in that cart.
I just dropped out of nursing school as a hat. You're just wearing it as a baseball hat in the hopes that someone in the Starbucks line will be like, let me get this for her.
That reminds me, the other day I was at ecstatic dance class and... another passion.
What is that?
And it's a moving meditation where you kind of scan your body for what doesn't need to be there and you dance it out.
Nice.
And I saw...
Minute 58.
And I see this woman and I see a piece of her t-shirt and it's D-N-E-S-S. And I just assume the rest of it is madness. And
right.
As I'm trying to not have crazy people and situations in my life, I'm like, I am dancing the hell away from her. Fuck this. So I spend the whole time avoiding this one person who I don't know. And she's just no way, crazy, no way. And at the end, we got in a circle and it said kindness. My life in one dance.
That is ecstatic what?
Ecstatic dance. The five
That's
rhythms.
The five rhythms.
Mm-hmm. Kate Shella, she's a genius. She's a fantastic facilitator.
What does your SIG line mean on your email?
What is what? Huh?
Your SIG line.
Oh, Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavatu. It means
right.
May all beings everywhere be happy and free. Free from suffering and the causes of suffering. Connected to joy and the causes of joy.
But and really much tighter than that.
Exactly. And the idea for me being if everyone... has what they want, maybe they will stay the hell away from me. It seems like it's a good thing that I'm like, hey, we should all. But really, I'm just like, good people towards me, shitty fuckers away.
Oh, yeah. The thing is I think that is your 40s, my friend. That is how you go through. You're just like, oh, I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
You exhaust me. I can't hang out with you.
Did someone do a book like that? You know, my 10 to 14-year-old. Have they done my 39 to 51-year-old?
No.
Where's that book?
Where's that book?
Are we writing that book?
Let's write that book. Ladies and gentlemen, Moon Zappa has been on the program of The Dork Forest, and you have listened to it. And I think our takeaway is exotic, ecstatic dance. Ecstatic dance!
Mm-hmm.
I want to find something that doesn't... and dance it out of my goddamn body. Rangers, at Moon Zappa on Twitter, and find her art. But you'll have to research it. You'll have to find it. That's right. Make it happen. Hashtag family, you guys. Rangers, you know the rules. Take care of each other out there. Okay, bye.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?